This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, if you've been here a long time, thanks for coming back show after show. And if you've been here just for the very first time, well, thank you very much. I said the other day, we rolled out the red carpet. We actually had it steam cleaned the other day. It is virtual, right? So just for you, we're doing the best that we can. All right, speaking of doing the best, what is happening in the Ukraine is interesting. The siege of Kyiv is very, very sad because you're seeing burned out buildings and just piles of rubble, buildings that are gone, historic sites that have just crumbled. And there's actually a port city that, a first big major port city that completely fell to the Russians. But a strange thing is also going on with the Russian troops. So you hear the stories that morale is low, but then you see the video of Russian soldiers crying, getting captured, and saying they had no idea, and they feel like they are just foisted into the middle of this and thought it was a training exercise, but now here it is, full-scale war. So Putin's armies still, though, are laying waste to some cities. There are absolutely some dead soldiers on both sides of this. And you have more than a million people, luckily, that have in this one week time period since this started, that have gone to the borders and escaped, mostly women and children, because men up to 60 years old were told to stay and help fight. And there are certainly some women that are fighting, too, to try to fend off the Russians from taking over. In the meantime, you have so many countries, more than 20-ish countries in the EU that are supplying whatever weapons they can to help the Ukrainian troops. And you also have reports that, you know, that some of these, of course, are NATO countries, too, that are doing anything and everything that they normally wouldn't do, like the Swedens and Finlands are sending weapons, and they are always neutral, but they're not neutral in this because they're seeing the human side, I think, of what's happened to the Ukraine and the fact that the Russians bullied their way in, and we were watching and watching and watching and watching to see as it was getting closer and closer and closer, and then there you go. You know, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine has brought these countries, these European countries, especially together because they see the larger threat to European security. They're seeing it in food supplies. They're seeing it with natural gas and in some other areas of life, too. But I think the brilliant thing here is that people are watching the people and the suffering of, we got to just get out. You got your clothes on your back, and they made it, and so many made it. And then there's this ragtag, I'm going to call it. There is troops, there's Ukrainian troops, but it's small. And then there's these forces, these bands that have come together, what I call the ragtag team, that are sharing information, building the trenches, and trying to fight back that ultimately the best they can. You know, there was a dancer who became pretty famous, Maxim Chermiskovsky, I think his last name is, I might have butchered his last name because I just know him as Maxim. But he kept posting on social media what it was really like trying to get from the Ukraine, because he's in the Ukraine, to Poland, and he's been documenting everything, so you really see what's happening. And he finally had made it onto a train for Poland and said that it was just insane at the train station and showed what it was like, and that it, you know, it got worse and worse when you had to go and board these different trains. And he squeezed into a train cabin that is usually occupied by no more than three people with 4 adults and 7 kids. And so he finally made it back to the United States, and he had 31 hours without sleep. He made it into Poland and then made it back to the U.S. to be united with his family. And he had been in the Ukraine last week working on a reality competition series, The World of Dance UA. So there were people that got caught up in the middle of this. And the thing that he just kept reiterating was that the cars were packed with people, and said, you know, it was sad watching kids hug their fathers. They didn't want to let go of them, and then got on the trains and some of the emotional things that he witnessed. And I think it's great that he documented that, because you got an inside, real inside look of, oh, wow, I'm in the middle of this. How do I get back to my family in the U.S.? And here I was just for some reality show showing that I think even though the Russians were surrounding so many areas of the borders with the Ukraine and kept insisting that it was military exercises, that this thing was real, but maybe it just didn't feel like it was actually going to happen to the people that were there in, you know, in the Ukraine. And there's other stories about an American couple escaping safely by walking to the Ukrainian-Poland border. Right? They felt like, okay, this is what we have to do with a baby. We've got to get out, so this is what we have to do. So just 2 days after giving birth, Jesse Bokman heard the sound of shelling with the invasion. So they tried to drive, but they kept, and they were trying to reach a temporary U.S. embassy, but there was such gridlock, and what normally was a 6-hour drive turned into a 27-hour crawl. And when they learned the embassy was closed, they changed direction for the Polish border as they saw all these tanks roll past outside their windows and decided that we're going to make it to the border by nightfall. We're going to do what we have to do. Their daughter was 4 days old, and their biggest concern was hypothermia because of the weather, because it was really, really cold. But they felt like if we don't do it, if we don't walk, we're not going to get out. So they're now back in California, and they're safe, but they had a harrowing time of it. And I'll just say it again, 2 days after giving birth, doing that, but that's the panic. That's what you have to do. How do you save your family? How do you get out of it? So this is incredibly real, and we're seeing it in real time, how it's all unfolding. All right, closer to home, you know, there's been so many different plane incidents with people freaking out and being arrested, and passengers having to help subdue other passengers more than the airlines have seen in 4 decades, maybe ever, probably, really, because they haven't kept those kinds of statistics. They never had to. And now the latest thing that's happened is you had a JetBlue pilot that was removed from the cockpit, from his duties at Buffalo's airport on Wednesday morning. He had a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. So he was passing through security. A TSA agent noticed he might have been impaired, and that's how they caught him and tested him and found out. He admitted he had about 6 drinks the night before at dinner. Ay, 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 ay. And they have a strict zero tolerance internal alcohol policy. So you don't want to have that news about a pilot drinking too much before you take off. Stay with us.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe
Maybe you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
And I think when I was a little girl, my father used to read a lot of stories about dragons, but we don't see as many now. We have one for you, Augie the Dragon, who lives on Grandma Sue's roof. And the way this story came about is so fascinating to me. It's about the journey to how did you get there for this children's story. And Susan Christensen, who wrote this book, has an interesting journey that includes grandchildren who I'm sure are thrilled, a granddaughter who must be beside herself when she realizes this story came to life partially through her. Susan, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about that. I mean, you know, you're a teacher now. You've been a teacher, you know, most of your life. You've got this granddaughter. It's about reading to kids and seeing their eyes get big and whatnot. But how did you create Augie the Dragon? How did you come up with that?
Well, it was just a regular day. My granddaughter came over and she heard the heater come on, and my heater sounded like someone was dragging a dead body across the roof, and then it would go like that. So it was pretty dramatic. And so she goes, Grandma, what's that? And I just looked at her and I said, that's the dragon that lives on Grandma Sue's roof. And her eyes got huge, and I told her, no. I said, it's okay. He loves Grandma. He takes care of me, and he keeps me warm. And I took her over to feel the heater vent. And so I asked her, I said, what do you think he looks like? And she said, he's purple with pink flower tattoos. And I said, okay. I said, what do you think his name is? And she said, his name's Augie. And so that's how the character of Augie came to be, was just from that spontaneous imaginary journey I had in my head with her.
Yeah, so interesting because, you know, it's life lessons are in this. It seems very whimsical to me, all of that. So tell us about more about the story, more about Augie.
The story begins when Grandma Sue's heater fails, and she calls the repair company. They can't come out. It's going to be weeks before she can get it fixed, and so they're freezing in the little cottage. But one morning they wake up and it's warm, and so she calls the repair people. They haven't been out there, so the girls and Grandma Sue take a ladder and climb up on the roof, and there's a dragon sleeping on top of the roof, and turns out it's Augie, and he's on a journey, and he and Grandma Sue develop this friendship. He keeps her warm, and she takes care of him with oatmeal and orange slices and chocolate, which are his favorite things.
Wow, that sounds good to me. I'd like some of those orange slices and chocolate, too. Sounds good, doesn't it? So when people read this book, and you got great feedback from 5- and 6-year-olds, so you knew you were on the right path, what do you hope kids take away from this?
I hope that they take away from it a sense of inclusion, that we can have friendships with, you know, diverse groups, with different ages, we can always find some connection and help each other out, like Grandma Sue and Augie do throughout the story.
Yeah, it's, again, wonderfully written. What an imagination. And you've got something else coming up in the pipeline, Corruption. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, Corruption starts out with Joshy Durbin, who that is my bestie's son's name, so he's excited about that. He's a teenager on a normal, you know, Saturday morning, and he remembers he's supposed to write about his vacation. And so he's working on his journal while his brother and his brother's girlfriend and her brother are all there, you know, just being teenagers, picking on him because he's the youngest. And then there's a shift in the earth, and they end up in the center of the earth through a sinkhole when they come across potato people who are called potas, and those potas are actually refugees from the Irish potato famine. And so the story develops. They're not sure whether they're friend or foe, and that's where the adventure comes in, is figuring out who these potas are and, of course, escaping back to the top, you know, back to the their lives that they left.
Right. Well, I certainly know all about that, having been to Ireland a couple times in my background. Fascinating. Augie the Dragon Who Lives on Grandma Sue's Roof is so, so clever. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Susan Christensen, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I love the whole idea of storytelling with kids, and, you know, that's why we highlight authors on the show, because it had such an impact on me. And, by the way, Augie the Dragon, Who Lives on Grandma Sue's Roof, you will find it under her pen name, Professor Sue C. Again, Professor Sue C, because I know when you look things up, sometimes you do it that way, and then you get the book pops up, so just remember that when you go there. But it's just such a clever story, and the illustrations. I have a thing about dragons. I said that at the beginning of it because that connected me to my dad, and he was a writer, and he was a great storyteller, and it made me think about the whole idea of storytelling and reading to kids and how vital that is, and a grandmother and the connection with her grandchildren or grandfather or whoever it might be. That was a big connector for me and my nephew, too, you know, reading and rereading. He wanted me to reread always the same book again and again and again and again and again, and then kind of go off book and tell me more about what could have happened in the story. And it also makes me think of when you have at a lot of these schools, even they have used books, gently used books for books fairs, and I can remember how big that was, right? That you go to the book fair and you write down the books that you wanted, and there's always all kinds of discounts and et cetera. And books like Professor Sue C's book were there, and always with the illustrations. That was so popular. And what I love is there are more of these that are starting to return to different school districts, whether it's a used book fair or it's just a book fair. But I think book fairs were a staple of so many childhoods, right? Where, again, it impacted your mind of getting out of wherever it was. Your imagination was stimulated and opened up to new possibilities and new lands. I mean, who didn't have Willy Wonka, right? Or James and the Giant Peach. That was a big one for me when I was a kid. I still have that very weathered book, right? And so I think her book has that same thing, that same appeal, the novelty of it, the different type of story, and how a kid can see that imagination. You can see that imagination opening up, and they can get pulled into it and feel like they're right there. And you never know where the story is going to come from. I mean, that's what's so interesting about where do stories come from, right? And how do you take a story of something that is happening, and then all of a sudden it turns into something completely different, and it becomes a fascination for a child. Just absolutely amazing. All right, coming up on the show, Elijah's Law. Speaking of kids, in June of 2019, New York State adopted Elijah's Law, and it requires all daycares to implement food allergy guidelines to prevent and identify and respond to anaphylaxis emergencies. And Thomas Silvera joins us to talk about his son's legacy after what happened. And it is a fascinating story, a very sad story, but one where now, at least moving forward, this will help other kids so that they don't end up in the same situation. Elijah's life wasn't saved, but he's saving other lives. Yay. Hang with us, and thanks to, once again, Professor Sue C. for her brilliant book, Augie the Dragon Who Lives on Grandma Sue's Roof.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell told Congress on Wednesday Americans will likely see interest rate hikes.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell said he supports a traditional quarter point increase rather than a larger increase at this time that some policymakers are proposing. However, Powell did open the door to a bigger hike in the event that inflation, which has reached a four-decade high, doesn't noticeably decline by the end of the year. The Fed Chair also cautioned that the economic consequences of Russia's invasion of Ukraine may affect the Fed's policies. From the USA Radio News Washington Bureau, I'm John Hunt.
Most of Texas's primary election races were decided by Wednesday, but mail-in ballots are holding up the tally in several counties, and several state attorneys general have launched a nationwide investigation into TikTok and its possible harmful effects on young users' mental health. This is USA Radio News. Hawaii plans to lift its COVID-19 quarantine requirement for travelers on March 25th. That means domestic travelers will not have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test. 2021 marked an increase in car accidents. Tim Berg reports.
Early data from the National Safety Council says traffic deaths were up by 9% last year in the United States compared to 2020. The report saying more than 46,000 people died in motor vehicle-related incidents last year, and the group's president and CEO describing it as yet another wake-up call for this country.
On the West Coast, California's drought is not showing any signs of letting up after two record dry months. New measurements from the State Department of Water Resources show a wet December and a bone dry January that leave the state at a high risk of destructive wildfires. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Very pleased to welcome to the show Thomas Silvera. You remember Elijah's Law. He's Elijah's father. And also Janice Molnar joins us. And Janice, you have a very long but important title. Tell us what you do for the state of New York.
I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Division of Child Care Services in the New York State Office of Children and Family Services. And what we do is we are the agency that regulates child daycare in New York State, among other things.
Yeah, and some of what we're going to talk about here is, you know, Elijah's Law, obviously, and the question is your role in helping to pass legislation in New York, and where are we as far as all of that's concerned?
Well, the legislation passed in 2019, and one of the requirements of that legislation was that the New York State Department of Health and the New York State OCFS, the Office of Children and Family Services, worked together to develop an anaphylaxis policy to help providers, child daycare providers, recognize the signs and symptoms of a severe allergic reaction, create a healthcare plan that addresses what they plan to do about it, and if they have any children with known allergies, how they would prevent allergic reactions. And the law also requires training for all child daycare providers, of which there are about 14,000 in the state of New York, regulated by OCFS. So child care centers, school-age child care, family-based programs, all of them fall under the umbrella and are required to comply with this policy. And we passed regulations just last month that require compliance with the policy. So we hope that what it does is add an extra layer of protection to children and offer parents the assurance that their children will be safe.
Yeah, boy, so important. And as you mentioned, of course, Elijah's Law passed in 2019, and now it's, I think, the layers of what does that mean and the awareness. And because of Elijah's Law, I think it really has raised that level of awareness. Thomas, what does this mean to you now, even hearing Janice talk about this new statewide policy and how important this is and how many kids could be saved?
Wow, it's very important. Not just to my family, but to know that there are actually this level of protection for young children. You know, when a parent drops their kid off at school, you know, they want to have peace of mind, you know, picking up their kid and not receiving a phone call that, you know, that states that, you know, there's has been an emergency if your child has, you know, suffered an allergic reaction to something, you know. And, you know, after the passing of my son, you know, my wife and I, we, you know, I couldn't stress it enough is that even in our grief, you know, we wanted to channel, take that grief and put it into action and try to, but we worked with local officials like Assemblyman Al Taylor and now Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin to put together a piece of legislation that becomes the staple and the gold standard of how child care centers should be monitoring and responding to the event of an allergic reaction and anaphylaxis, and having OCFS being on board and all of us pushing these types of guidelines so these centers can be in compliance. It just sends a big staple that, you know, New York knows what to do and how to implement programs that will put these in place to protect children who have food allergies or non-food allergy specifics.
Yeah, Thomas, tell us about the foundation that you've got and the commitment to developing comprehensive anaphylaxis programs to provide that safe learning environment for infants and children so parents don't have to go through what you and your wife went through.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not, you know, we don't want parents to be in the same group of people who have lost a child, you know, as ourselves, you know. And the Elijah Alavi Foundation was founded in my son's memory to ensure that all infant and children with severe food allergies have a safe space to learn and to socialize in their daycare centers. And, you know, working with a network of organizations and professionals, also OCFS, providing this level of care and access to free education as well. Like, our foundation provides free education, you know, that helps you understand the signs and symptoms, how to mitigate risk. And with OCF's free training, these educators can have these access to get the access online and also understand it and take the training and also know that they have access to epinephrine, a free auto-injector that they can, epinephrine auto-injector that they can get for their child care centers in the event of, you know, something happening to a child with an allergic reaction. You know, it's there for them to have that level of protection. It's so important. I'm always stressing, like, you know, do we, you know, when people go get their AED or their CPR certification, do you get it to get the, just to get the job, or do you get it in the event you need to save someone's life? So this law is, it adds that gold standard and that level of protection to save someone's life.
Wow. I love
it. And if I could just add, so.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add that OCFS is partnering with Health First to make non-patient-specific epinephrine auto-injectors available to child care providers. Thomas mentioned them. So they're free, and each program, all 14,000 of them, can get two once they take the training. All they have to do is ask, and we will send it.
Wow, so important. I love that Thomas Janice said that, and you just piggybacked on it, that it's not just going through the, you know, memorizing the ropes of, okay, I'm qualifying for this. I think that will really, in a sense, and I don't know how to really phrase this right, but hold people accountable, hold their feet to the fire that, hey, I really know this, so that you don't end up in one of those situations. And I look at this legislation and how important it is, and I guess this is really a question for both of you, and I guess I'll start with you, Thomas. The legislation, I think, is the first of its kind. I don't know if it's been implemented in other parts of the country, but if it hasn't, would that be your push to help other people around the country be aware of it as well?
Yes. New York has set the gold standard of this legislation, and it is the very first of its kind to get done in New York State. And New York State championed everything that's been going on to push the momentum of Elijah's law for these child care centers and so forth. And it is our goal to make sure that this law in other states are implemented as well. And it's our main goal, not just by state, but also as a national legislation, you know, because we need that level of care, that level of protection just for children. You know, the children, you know, not just for the children now, but those who are coming in within the future.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to what can happen that you just don't know what can happen. And so raising that level as to what happened with Elijah and how important this law is that was enacted in 2019 for everybody listening in the United States, about 1 in 13 children are impacted by food allergies. 1 in 13. That is such a high number. And Janice, for you, when you look at the legislation, it's all about sharing, right, and reaching out to other networks that may reach out to you to see how it's being implemented.
Right. And we are more than available as far as, you know, other states are concerned, questions from within New York State. We have a website that has a lot of information available on it about allergies in general, about severe allergic reactions, again, what to do, about the law, about the policy, at ocfs.ny.gov. So we encourage parents, not just providers, but parents and the general public to learn more about this very serious thing. As you mentioned, 1 in 13 kids, that's a lot of kids. And again, not all of them might even know that they have an allergy until they are exposed to that specific allergen. So it's really critical.
Absolutely.
Do what we can to get the word out.
Yeah, Thomas, last one for you. So for parents that are listening to this, and there are a lot, grandparents and aunts, et cetera, I know that I used to drop my nephew off at daycare all the time, and I wasn't asking a lot of questions. What questions should people be asking, and how, when they're looking for the right daycare, what should they do? Where should they go?
You know, Janice has said, they need to ask questions, ask their child care educators, their providers, have they been trained through OCFS? Do they have the stock at the non-patient specific stock epinephrine, which is a life-saving medication? You know, we strongly encourage these child care programs to take advantage of everything that OCFS is offering, and, you know, and also what the Elijah Oliver Gee Foundation is offering as well. You know, there's so much information that can educate these centers and these educators to protect children. And, you know, going to ocfs.ny.gov and the Elijah Oliver Gee Foundation.org can provide you with getting direct information to OCFS or providing you with the level of information to get educated as well.
Yeah. Thomas and Janice, thank you both for this interview. It's terrific. I think it's such important information. You've got the websites. Definitely inform yourself, people. And thank you both.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wow, what a perfect time to do this as Halloween is almost upon us. I'll tell you what, when I think of Harrisonville, Rhode Island, it scares me to death because of The Conjuring and what happened in that house. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to welcome to the show Andrea Perrin, and also Susan Slaughter is with us, and she is an expert, I mean, truly, when it comes to the paranormal. You've caught her, I'm sure, on Ghost Hunters Academy, Ghost Hunters International, Paranormal, caught on camera. She has me hooked and scared. So both of you, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andrea, first tell me, you think about this 30-some years ago, more than that, 1971, your family moving into the house, all the excitement over this great big house, the family moving in, and then how did it just all fall apart for you? What was that like?
Well, it's not that it fell apart per se. It seemed our awareness happened gradually and incrementally. But within the first few minutes of moving into the house, I saw a full body apparition that I thought was flesh and blood. And my sister Nancy saw him disappear into thin air. And that happened within the first 5 to 10 minutes. The second night we were in the house, my sister Cindy crawled into bed with me and said that she heard voices in her room, and they were telling her over and over, there are 7 dead soldiers buried in the wall. You know, I mean, we went from being a perfectly normal family to a paranormal family within a matter of a few hours, a couple of days, we realized this was nothing like the house that we had come from.
Wow, so how did you deal with that?
We got used to it over time. We learned to live with it. My father didn't even believe that it was happening. He said, you know, he doesn't believe in ghosts. I wanted to say, well, Dad, guess what? They believe in you. You know, my mother said to him one time, she said, you know, Roger, the existence of spirits in this house is not contingent upon your belief in them, which, you know, silenced him immediately. But eventually he started having his own experiences that were so compelling and disturbing, he just simply couldn't deny it anymore. But, you know, we had everything invested in this magnificent piece of property, and to leave it would have bankrupted our family. So we couldn't just walk away. We had to live here. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, why did you stay? And there are a lot of answers to that question. But in retrospect, I look back now and realize that we stayed here because we were supposed to, and have the experiences that we did. And then 30, almost 40 years after we moved out, I was supposed to tell the story, which took me almost 7 years. It took 7 years exactly. Almost as long as we lived here, it took for me to chronicle the events. The Conjuring barely scratches the surface of this story.
Yeah, but for you, is it a great release and relief to be able to share that with people?
I think it's more so liberating to others who've had experiences of their own that they chose not to share for fear that they would be dismissed, laughed at, called crazy. When people read my books and they see moments of similarity and experiences that they've had as well, it does give them the freedom to speak their own truth. I think it's the greatest benefit of having the courage to tell such a dark tale of pure evil existing in the world. But it wasn't all doom and gloom. No, it was good and evil and darkness and light, and knowing that love conquers fear. That was the greatest lesson from living there, is that we came together as a family and we survived this.
Wow. Susan, for you, I mean, you're an expert in this. What is this like to have this opportunity and to get that feeling around the house? And what do you get from this house and this story?
Well, I've known about this house and the story since I started becoming interested in the paranormal myself. As a young investigator, I followed the Warrens and their investigations around the country. I learned about all the houses and stories and haunts, you know, through their lens. But as I started to investigate myself, I developed my own tactics and my own beliefs through my own experiences. And being able to come to this farmhouse with the Perrin family is kind of a pinnacle in my paranormal career, because I am able to corroborate the stories and, you know, I guess the hauntings that Andrea and her family have experienced with the investigation that we're going to have going on this weekend. And so starting Friday, all the way through Halloween night, the Dark Zone has cherry picked our favorite paranormal experts, and we all brought them to the Conjuring House to assist the parents in getting, you know, some answers to what happened during their life here in the farmhouse. I think that a lot of the stories have not been portrayed, and I feel like have been actually misinterpreted or chopped and screwed for the sake of Hollywood. We want to get down to the bottom of this. This is the truth of, you know, true paranormal investigation, is working with a family who's dealt with these hauntings and using my expertise and the best gear in the field. We're actually inviting anyone who joins the darkzone.tv for this event to become investigators with us. And so what that entails is that you'll have access to every single camera on site, and you'll be able to see everything as it happens and unfolds in real time. Plus, we'll have microphones on our cameras. You'll be able to hear and see everything on our investigations and have access to us via the chat room on the Dark Zone to ask us questions in real time. You know, let us know if you see anything happening in the house. You can ask Andrea questions that you have about her experiences while she lived in the home and, you know, partake in EVP sessions. And if you're a paranormal enthusiast, you know exactly what that means. You'll be able to speak to the ghosts through our, you know, our event online and through us as investigators. And if you're a fan of Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Paranormal Caught on Camera, we're going to have investigators from all of those teams that you know and love from television to join us on this investigation. You'll be able to, you know, rub shoulders with them as well. So I think that this is like a really unique opportunity for people to get involved in a real investigation and see how it unfolds genuinely.
And again, that's the Dark Zone .tv. You can go there for all of that, right? And it's a 3-day, like you said, live immersive experience documenting everything. And so, Andrea, for you, after what Susan just said, what's your feeling about doing this? Are you, is there an anticipation or is a little bit of anxiety? How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm delighted to work actually with Susan for the first time. We've known each other for quite a while, but we've never done anything like this together. So that's wonderful. And I don't think that there is such a thing as an expert in this field. I think that we're all learning, we're all growing, we're all pushing forward in terms of our exploration of this. You know, most people consider this a pseudoscience, and I quickly remind them that no existing accepted form of science was just automatically accepted. All science began as pseudoscience, but none of the equipment that they even use existed back when we lived in this house, and we were on our own. You know, if my family's not experts in what's going on in this house, there's no such thing. But there are seasoned investigators, and what we've gathered for this event is the best of the bunch. And that's important, because when you bring that kind of personal experience to the table, it opens doors, literally and figuratively. So I'm really looking forward to the event. I have no fear of this house at all. And there are members of my family that have never been back. There are members of my family that can't wait to come visit. We all had an individual response and reaction to it, which we will delineate over the course of this weekend, and people can come in and speak with any member of my family about their own personal experiences and garner some more information. And I think it'll be, I think it's going to be unique. Nothing like this has ever been done before, and it may never happen again. It's kind of a one-shot opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I'm sure my listeners will be excited as well. I know I'll be there. Andrea Parent, Susan Slaughter, I could talk to both of you all day long. I know you have other people to get to. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.